This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
Yes, sir.
Time for the Falcons Report.
Stop! Big Beasley slams it through the gut to touchdown Atlanta. Julio, touchdown!
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report on Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell, brought to you and driven by Kia. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. Hey, man, we're having a good time here today. We are tripping out on the comments of Jalen Ramsey in this GQ article, which we'll get to. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey man.
Big shout out to Taylor, our brewmaster out at Oconee Brewery. And, guys, again, if you've not had a Hey Man Ale, we invite you to go check it out. It's going to be in cans coming up here at the end of the month. We'll tell you exactly where you can go get it. But Mike and I are so proud to be a part of what is a movement. And we're being serious because it's really cool to see guys hanging out wherever it might be at one of the 25 or 30 places now around town where you can get it. And, you know, it's on draft, on tap right now, Mike. But then we get those pictures where a guy's out and he sends a picture of the brew and a menu where he's at. And he's like, hey, man. And that's what's up. So we appreciate all the support and the love you guys are giving us.
Yeah, we're up to 25 bars and restaurants around the town and around the state, for that matter. And, again, in cans, guys, Labor Day. So you can grab a six-pack of Hey Man Ale and take it to your tailgate or wherever you're going to be boozing up.
Now, remember,
you've
got to order it with some authority. Yeah, I need a Hey Man.
Hey, bartender, give me a Hey Man.
I need a give me two Hey Man.
You hear a Squid Million out? It's kind of cool. He does like a Merle Haggard. Like, hey, man, give me a Hey Man. He actually drops his voice down a couple of octaves.
So, yeah, man, we'll keep you updated as we move along this month, but we're getting closer and closer to that. With that said, the Falcons are getting closer and closer to this Friday preseason game against the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, Steve Sarkisian is our offensive coordinator. And before I let you hear Sark, one thing that I've come to a realization of, Mike, and I'm trying to put, you know, put things behind, I'm going to put it behind me.
Right.
I'm not going to think about the past. I'm going to ride with Sark. Now, you guys know I, along with Mike, we're as critical as anybody when this thing goes to crap and it doesn't look good and we feel like we can be better and everybody in the league knows we could have been better. But there's nothing I can do about last year. So I'm going to give Sark the benefit of the doubt and trust that this extra year, as many of we've heard from many of you, year two.
Yeah, Matt's better with the second year, the offensive coordinator. Sometimes it matters when you have a Pro Bowl center in front of your quarterback as well. But, yeah, I mean, Sark, and everyone likes the guy. Everyone's pulling for him. It's just last year there were some times that, you know, I mean, it literally became like, who shot JR? You know what I mean? It was like, it was the offensive line. It was the execution. It was the drops. It was Sark's play calling. You know, Matt needed to be more accurate at times. All that's all part of it, you know, but that's got to improve. And that's why, you know, that's why it was so disappointing to see us look like hot garbage for the one series we had against the Jets last week.
Now, I will say this. I do not expect, and I think this is part of the problem with the expectation of where the offense should be. Do I expect us to score 33.4 points a game like we did going to Super Bowl? No. I do expect us to be in the four touchdown range consistently and getting us over the 24-point mark. So that means if we are scoring 23 and Matt Bryan kicks a field goal, as long as we're getting close to it, I don't care how you go about it.
Right.
But that's the number where we need to be, is above 24 points a game. And I think we have the kind of weapons, Mike, that we could score 28 a game. That's four touchdowns, not five, okay? And I think the expectation of coming off the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, it was a record-setting year. We scored more points. It was one of the dynamic offenses in the history of the NFL from a point-scoring perspective. Mm-hmm. I don't expect that. But I do expect us to be more disciplined, better, more execution in the red zone, getting the playmakers the rock when they need to. And I do expect us to overall, Mike, be better and score more points. So, yeah, those things, I just, you know, as we talk about where Sark is, before I let you hear what he had to say, the realistic expectations and goals have to be put in place. The offense should be better, but how much better? I don't expect 40 a game.
No, I mean, the Shanahan 2016 numbers are gaudy, man. And you look at Matt's performance in 15 and last year, and like Matt had an awful year last year. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. 4,000 yards in passing nowadays is nothing. 5,000 is the new 4,000 for the elite quarterbacks. The touchdowns down 18. We've talked about the drops, and I get it. Yes, Matt can't catch the ball, but he can get it to them. But, I mean, that was a dreadful season for a guy coming off an MVP year. There's no debating that. I don't think Matt would look in the mirror and say that he had a good season. I mean, yes, we did get to the playoffs. We won a playoff game, but the expectations were so much higher. But Sark has got to be better. The O-line's got to be better. And I'm a little nervous about what DJ Shockley told us last hour, that maybe Wes Schweitzer, in the coach's mind, has a leg up on Fusco at the right guard.
Well, listen, here's what we don't know about Schweitzer. We don't know if he put in some extra work and maybe he truly is better than perceived. Okay? I'm going to leave the evaluation up to them. Now, if he's on skates and giving up sacks, Mike, and not blocking anybody when the season rolls around,
right,
we'll talk about it. But if they believe that he's better right now or playing better than Fusco, okay, so be it. Just give me the best guy for the job, all right? Give me the right tool for the job. Last year, it was neither one of those guys that played right guard, and it was an issue for us. That's why we need it fixed. Steve Sarkisian, actually, Mike, talking about the team today, said that the first team in this first preseason game against the Jets, they actually wanted to go back out there. But he said that's not what they wanted to do.
As competitors, we all want to be successful. We want to win. We want to get first down, score points. Defense wants to get sacks and turnovers. And when your first unit goes out and really goes backwards, you know, because of penalties and whatnot, and then they're out of the game, there's a level of frustration there. You know, they want to get back out there and show what they can do. But this is an important time for us in evaluating personnel and evaluating players. And, you know, sometimes it's not always about the scheme in the preseason. It's about ensuring that we're putting players in position to show what they're capable of or not capable of doing.
All right, so Dan Quinn did not get caught up in the moment and go, God forbid, put him back out there. He understands and was not so caught up that, Mike, the staff still needs to evaluate some guys, and you still have competitions going on. Let's keep playing. We'll find what we need to find. But it is interesting to hear that the first team wanted to go back out there because they realized how sucky it was.
Yeah. I mean, we all want to see Calvin. Like, we knew without Julio and Devontae, as we mentioned on Monday, there were going to be some, different players out there. But Calvin Ridley's a guy everyone was kind of, you know, waiting to see, you know, foaming at the mouth to see what this guy can do. We'll have to wait till Friday. And, again, the Chiefs apparently are going to play the whole first half. At least that's the word out of Kansas City. If not the first half, the starters will go deep into the first half for Andy Reid, including Patrick Mahomes, who is trying to get the kinks out. Because remember, you still got Tyreek Hill and you got all the weapons, certainly at running back. You know, they've got a lot of pieces out there, Kelsey as well. So we're gonna see more of them than maybe our starters, although who knows? If we go right down the field 80 yards and Matt's throwing touchdowns and everyone's running, okay, then sit up, put them on ice.
Right.
But the fans need some sense. The coaching staff, too. These games don't mean anything, but you still can't be. You can't look as bad as we did against the Jets.
Wait a minute, though. It's anytime, any place.
Well, that's what Dan Quinn said.
Anywhere.
Look, but I mean, what do you want in preseason? You want to see your first team kick butt, and you want to see individual rookies look good.
Yeah.
And none of that happened in the first game, so we'll have to hope for it against the Chiefs. And then we get to that Jacksonville game, which now all of a sudden has a completely new slant for a meaningless preseason game.
That it does. More about that coming up in our big story. Here's more from Sark talking about the goal against the Chiefs.
We just weren't nearly as efficient in the ball game as we would have liked to have been. We had had a really good camp up until that point, and we chose for that to be our worst day. So we've had a good first couple days of practice heading into the ball game, and we understand there's different bodies moving in and out of the lineups, but at the end of the day, you know, we all have a responsibility to do our job and to play efficient football, and that's the goal for Friday night.
All right, let's ask the real question that everyone's wondering about. Julio was asked this question. Sark has now been asked this question. And that is, where are you with Julio when it comes to, you know, the understanding, feeling more comfortable and where you might use him? Sark said this.
We have a year under our belt together of 18 games of working together and understanding the things he does and the things he's comfortable with. All that adding up has just put us in a much better space at this time this year than maybe this time a year ago. It's night and day of kind of where we're at.
That's good to hear.
It's great to hear. Now, again, you still got to go execute. You still have to go make plays. But I think when Sark in the offseason said, I really didn't get a chance to work with him and get a feel. Not our words, his. To hear him say that, Mike tells me, because again, Julio was not there for mini camp. He was not there for OTAs. So you miss all that time. What that tells me is that the communication is better. Mm-hmm. Maybe the work on the field hasn't been what it needs to be every day because he wasn't there. But the communication, and what I mean by that is maybe Sark went to Julio, maybe Greg Knapp in that room now has a voice to say, hey, right. Matt and I were talking, And this is what we believe when we talk about this scheme or these plays or this set. That, to me, is what kind of was missing last year. It's almost as you said, hey, Sark, here's the playbook. Go ahead and run it. Not having a feel for it.
And that's not his playbook. No. I mean, that's the thing. Coaches, you see it. I mean, guys have their idea, their way of doing things, man. You know, the Browns are learning Todd Hundley's way, or Todd Haley, I should say, his way of doing things.
What do you think of him, by the way?
I like, you know, I know he's got a bad rep as far as rubbing people the wrong way, but
don't you think
he seems like the voice of reason on that offense, doesn't he?
Don't you think Greg Williams is a little over the top, though?
He's always been. What do you think? Bounty Gate was his baby.
I know. He was the former defensive. We're talking about Hard Knocks.
We don't want to give it all away. We give you guys a 72-hour window to see it, but there was some unbelievable soap opera real-life storylines last night on HBO's Hard Knocks.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about it tomorrow, but it came on last night, so we're giving you a chance to watch it. But, yeah, just real quick, Todd Haley. Yeah.
I mean, you know, he got results. I mean, he's been a guy who's had high-powered offense over the years. I mean, you know, somebody threw him over a mechanical bull at a bar in Pittsburgh, apparently. That was the story. But that aside, Carl, I think the guy, of all the coaches on that coaching staff, he's the one guy who knows what he's doing in Cleveland.
What were you going to say, Bo?
Watching Hugh Jackson out there, you can really understand why they've been 1-31 under his tenure.
They're not practicing the way we practice. We lost every game last year, and I want tempo and practicing hard.
Yeah. But if you could take a little bit of Todd Haley and a little bit of Hugh Jackson and kind of form one coach,
right?
Because Hugh Jackson is so soft and Todd Haley is so over the top hard,
right?
Like it's like, all right, we need something in the middle here.
I'm with you. You need like the bastard child of those two to kind of be running the show. It's not a bad call. Hey, plenty more on Hard Knocks once you guys get a chance to see it. So tonight, if you're not watching the Bravos, give it a view. The big story today, and we'll talk more about it at 5:20, but it does have some bearing on the Falcons with the comments of Jalen Ramsey. So for guys, if the GQ article is out there, you can read it, but it definitely has people's tongues wagging today.
Let's hear from Dan Quinn talking about how important this game is against Kansas City on Friday, and we're going to give you a chance to win some money.
In this game, there are certain guys that we've met on to say, let's make sure they get more. Let's really find out as much as we can in game two. And so if all the questions are answered, maybe game three is played a little bit different. And some guys may play their way into more playing time or play their way out of playing time. So it definitely evolves week to week as it goes through the preseason.
All right, guys, remember, pregame this Friday at 5, kick at 7 o'clock here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
That's right, and you're going to be in your new section.
Okay, you know what? You know what? Speaking of that.
What is the new section, by the way? Can you reveal the number?
I am not saying. I will give a big shout-out, though, to my folk in 115.
Yeah. So, you guys, you know how you've heard about people flipping houses? Carl flips PSL. So, apparently, he was able to make a nice, tidy profit, and then he's moved on to another section.
Well, here's what's funny. If you could make a profit, I might do that.
I made a nifty $84 selling my PSL.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to throw the process under the bus, but why are they taking fees from me?
Hey, man, I'm up at 342. We're not sure where Carl is. He could be in the club. Let's find out.
No, I'm in the 200s. All right, man, let's give you a chance to win some money.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word
is... Really? No, that's not the code word. Sail. S-A-I-L.
Sail. Sailing takes me away. Come on, everybody, to where I'm going. Christopher Cross? He was one of those guys that was too ugly for the video generation. He kind of got screwed in that time warp. Christopher Cross.
Christopher Cross.
Early 80s, you know, it's like there was some bands that just couldn't make the jump to the video side.
Sailing.
Yeah, come sail away, is Sticks Squid.
Oh, that's right. How did that go? How did that go?
Come sail away. Come sail away with me. Oh, yeah. I can't hit the range anymore,
okay,
man.
All right. 72881 is the number you need to text the word.
Sorry, by the way, some bad songs. Right now, there's some brother right now over in South. They're like going, what the hell is that stuff? Hey, man, it's sale. Goes to 72881. Sale right now. Good luck for our $1,000 for the 5 o'clock hour.
All right, when we come back, the big story, and it is a big one. It's got the NFL on notice. What did one corner say about our quarterback? And what did he say about the other quarterbacks in the league? You don't want to miss it. It's next.
Braves fans, you should be leaving right now for the ballpark.
You know, Mike and I were talking about Ronald Acuna, the best young player in Major League Baseball, Bo. And, Mike, we were just glancing up here. They, he led SportsCenter last night, and deservingly so. youngest player to hit five, you know, home runs, consecutive five home runs in five games. But here's the deal. So I look up, and you know those little game shows they have on ESPN? I don't even know. Around the Horn or whatever right. It is. I say game shows. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Panel shows, yeah.
They're leading with it. They're talking about Acuña. I mean, this is what we were talking about. Before we get to our big story, it just gets back to the buzz is real.
Right. And, guys, the Bravos last night did not get a great effort from Anibal Sanchez. No. He gave up some runs once they spotted him a 2-0 lead. But luckily, they paid off with some clutch hitting. Dansby, by the way, on base when it mattered. So, I mean, look, Acuña, Albies, the amazing story of Markakis, Freddie. There's so many great storylines. And that's why we're getting so hot earlier in the show about just trying to get out there on time. Because who wants to miss an at-bat with Acuña in the first inning? You know, unless you have no idea what the hell's going on in there, and you're just happy to keep on throwing them down in the battery, get down here, man, because it is the show. It is the best story baseball right now. Braves 2 games up, and hopefully we'll see what Doug Gausman can do tonight. He was solid last to start at home.
All right, we'll give you the lineup, by the way, tonight coming up at 6 o'clock when we give you our top 3 stories. But right now, let's get to the big story.
Guess what time it is?
Now, it's time for the big story.
Listen to this.
On Dukes and Bell.
You ever have friends that just run their mouth and you're like, dude, just shut up?
Wait, wouldn't that be me?
Okay, you're right. It is you. So Jalen Ramsey is that guy for the Jacksonville Jaguars. But Jalen Ramsey has always run his mouth. Here's the difference. He's now in the NFL. He's a Pro Bowler. Some people say he's the next big thing at corner. You know, at one point we had Revis Island. It was Darrell Revis, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's always this lineage of cornerbacks coming up the next guy who's going to be a great one-on-one on the island guy. He may be, but he's not that accomplished yet. But here he is in a GQ interview criticizing NFL quarterback Mike after NFL quarterback.
And by the way, great job by the interviewer on this piece. Again, there's a link from ESPN. You can find it. Just Google the GQ Jalen Ramsey interview and you'll get it. Clay Skipper was the guy doing the interviewing. And just kind of teed him up to kind of bounce around. Once they kind of talked about it, a number of issues, they covered the anthem, talked about, you know, as a young guy in the NFL, talked about, you know, Baker Mayfield versus Lamar Jackson. He thought Lamar Jackson should have gone higher in the draft. You and I certainly agree with that.
No doubt.
But then he starts going round and round about quarterbacks, including his own Blake Bortles. But the guy that would obviously you'd be concerned with here in Atlanta would be Matt Ryan. After talking about Kirk Cousins and Garoppolo and some other guys, he gets around to Matt. He's asked about Matt Ryan, and he says, I think Matt Ryan's overrated.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Stop right there. He just called our quarterback overrated.
Yes, we'll see Jalen Ramsey in Jacksonville next week. Makes that meaningless game slightly less meaningless. But anyway, he goes on to say, you can't tell me you win MVP 2 years ago, and then last year you were a complete bust, and you still got Julio Jones.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. He said he was a bust?
Well, I mean, 38 touchdowns to 20 is generally not a bust. It's a hell of a downtick.
It's a drop-off.
Yeah,
it's a drop-off.
I've actually said some of that myself. I can't disagree totally with Jalen Ramsey
You know what? Keep reading.
There's no way that should ever happen, talking about Matt Ryan and what happened last year. I don't care. You know what that tells me?
What?
This is Jalen Ramsey's words. That tells me Kyle Shanahan left, went to San Francisco, got Garoppolo, made Garoppolo the big thing. And now Garoppolo's a big name. And now Matt Ryan's had this bad year. All right. Was it really you? Or was it your coach? He was doing what was asked of him, and that was making him look really, really good.
Now, I will say this. If you go read the entire article, and we have, he talks about Garoppolo because Garoppolo ripped him for like 5 touchdowns last year,
right.
Okay? And this was kind of the coming out party when everybody said, oh, we'll see what Garoppolo has. He's facing the number one defense, and they murdered Jacksonville. And his whole thing with that was, well, Garoppolo didn't really rip us up. I mean, they were throwing balls to the fullback in the flat, and the guy was running for 30 or 40 yards.
So
Jalen, here's the deal. Does he have a big mouth? Yes. But now he's going to have a target on his back. Because as you go down this list, okay, from the kid that he doesn't think is anything, and I'm talking about Josh Allen for the Buffalo Bills, today Josh Allen was caught after practice off guard when asked about this. Josh Allen was drafted by the Bills. Now, do Mike and I believe in Josh Allen? Not really.
We actually thought Lamar Jackson, echo Jalen Ramsey's sentence, we thought he should have gone higher. Josh Allen, you know, did it against really subpar competition.
What was his completion percentage?
It was less than 55. It was 52%. I mean, the number, I'll look it up because the number was real low and it really drops down against Power 5 conferences. So
yeah.
Jalen Ramsey basically calls him trash.
No. He called him trash. Trash. Mike, that's strong for a guy. When you say, all right, what you think of this guy, you might think, well, he's not any good. Straight up, he's trash. So Josh Allen was asked about it after practice today.
So he basically called you trash.
Quote, his quote.
Not mine. You know, any response to that?
No, I didn't. That's the first I've heard of it. So he's not on my team. He's not my teammate. You know, don't bother me. I care about my teammates, what my teammates think of me. When I step on the field, ultimately I'm trying to win football games and trying to be the best quarterback for this team as possible.
Sitting there trying to autograph for the kids, and they just told him some guy called. Imagine this. He's traced his first NFL camp. And the media, and what makes it worse is the Buffalo media is kind of chuckling when they tell him, by the way, Jalen Ramsey's out of Jacksonville called you trash. 56.2 for his career, according to Squid.
It's not good.
At Wyoming. And it drops down when you go up against some of the teams, again, the elite competition, when they did play teams outside of their conference. Was it the Mountain West? But in the case of Jalen Ramsey, look, he's going off on a lot of guys. And he does give respect to Tom Brady. He does not give respect to Ben Roethlisberger. Respects Kirk Cousins, by the way. So read the article. It is kind of interesting. But just to follow up, Carl, we just told you about what he said initially about Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
The interviewer follows up with Jalen Ramsey. He says, you know, if that were to go in GQ and Matt Ryan would read it, it would make bulletin board material, right? That doesn't bother you? Jalen Ramsey, I don't play them this year anyway. Nah, it just makes me wonder, though. Well, you will see him in preseason.
Right.
And here's the thing. We were just talking about this off the air. It's not like Sark is going to dial up some sort of double move to Julio where he can go up against Jalen. I mean, it would be nice. I don't think we're going to see that. And, of course, if the Falcons, when they get asked about this, everybody's going to try to downplay it, I would imagine.
Well, that's what everybody's going to do. But when you go through this list and you start talking about Flacco, what do you think? He sucks. Rodgers doesn't suck. Brady doesn't suck. He says that Flacco that sucks, but then he goes on to talk about guys that he thinks are going to be MVPs, and he talks about Deshaun Watson. He says Watson's going to be an MVP. He loves Carson Wentz. Kirk Cousins, he's a winner. What about Wilson up there in Seattle? He's good. These are one-word or two-word answers from him as he's describing each and every quarterback. But some of these guys he threw under the bus, like, for example, Andrew Luck. I don't think he's any good. Okay. Well, what do you think about Nick Foles? Well, he's good enough to win a Super Bowl. Mike, it's hard enough in this league to be good. Now you've got guys and giving them extra motivation. These guys are already motivated to go out and prove it. I mean, you watch Hard Knocks. Bless him then. You see how guys go off and want to get the best of guys. And now I just think he's put a bigger target
on
his back.
As I said, you know, growing up a Florida State fan and like, there's a long tradition going all the way back to prime time for these guys. Look, in some cases, this is how they light the fire. Xavier Rhodes gets in people's heads up in Minnesota. You know, this is a one guy, Jalen Ramsey, who got the super cool A.J. Green dog fans completely out of his mind. Remember, A.J. Green basically choke slams him to the ground in the game between the Bengals and the Jaguars. So he's trying to get – he's playing some mind games, getting in your head, and I think he welcomes it. The dude was a freshman, won a championship at Florida State, played all the games. Comes out a year earlier. He's a Pro Bowler, his second full season in the NFL. So, I mean, I'm not saying it's – I don't agree with much of what he had to say, but it is kind of funny that this is the way he's pumping himself up.
Well, there's two ways for me to look at this. One is we always want athletes to speak the truth, right? I really wonder what he feels. Okay, well, he just told you. But the other side of it is when you talk about guys who are accomplished in this league, who are winners, who have won Super Bowls, who are in some cases Hall of Famers, you may not like Ben Roethlisberger, guys. I hate to tell you. He's going to go. He's going to be a guy with a couple of rings. And that's the thing. When you say Roethlisberger is decent at best, you're a clown show. When you say, oh, Eli Manning, who's got two Super Bowl rings.
As does Ben. Yeah.
I don't care how he got them. And you say Manning, oh, it's not Manning. It's Odell Beckham that makes Manning. You're a clown. That's crazy because he did it before Beckham was there.
Right. And the thing about Jalen Ramsey, now he's going to have to face the music. How much fun will guys have? Everybody likes to think there's this bulletin board material. Everybody downplays it. Wide receivers, man, you've seen guys, but you've also seen guys get inside guys' heads. Look at Josh Norman with Odell Beckham. You know, look at Josh Norman with Dez Bryant. I mean, you can get you. This is a game you can play, man. Now, look, does he sound like an idiot when he's going up at all these white MVPs?
Well, listen,
we were joking around about it earlier. I got a couple guys mad, but it was some funny stuff.
It is. I just think when you're talking about guys, if you want to clown some of these guys that haven't accomplished anything, and you want fine. But when you start talking about guys who have done it, that's a joke.
I mean, you hope that your career is over. You've got two Super Bowl rings, my man.
Exactly. Here's the deal, though, Mike. Did you see what he said about Ryan Tannehill down in Miami? I haven't heard good things.
You know, see, that's the thing. I would have to agree with him on that. Say what you. I don't hear a lot of. We talked to our buddy Armando Sangaro. We don't hear a lot of good things about Ryan Tannehill.
I haven't heard good things.
But it's funny because look, you know, I've gone after Matt Ryan over the years, and I had to eat crow after the MVP season. But one thing about Matt, 21 touchdowns, 38, and then back to 20. You know, so what, Matt Ryan, are we going to get this year? The even year, Matt, seems to be the better one. So let's hope that that's where we're going to be. But everybody is just praying. Squid, that's tongue-in-cheek. It's a joke. But everybody's praying that in the second year with Sark, Sark's going to play to Matt's strengths and the offensive line does its job. Because last year was an awful year for Matt Ryan. There's no way to sugarcoat it. Glad we made the playoffs. We won a playoff game. But if you want to go by statistics, which many of you guys use for validation, it was not a good year for Matt Ryan last year.
What do you think of Dak Prescott, Jalen?
He's okay. Okay.
Well, you said he's Ezekiel Elliott's chauffeur.
He said Zeke is that offense, man. It's not Dak. Mm-hmm. And then this last one, it just makes me laugh. You got to go read this, man. It's the GQ article that's out.
It's the boldest thing I've heard. Other guy really dropping names.
No doubt.
Especially for a young player. One thing of an established player's on his way out. He wants to throw some stuff out there. I mean, it's ballsy as hell. Let's see how it works out for him.
Well, that's what I was saying. I do like the fact that he spoke his mind. Marcus Mariota, what do you think? Good game manager. Okay. Guys, of course, as always, the Falcon Report is brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
Yeah, man, Domino's, a large three-topping pizza. We had an extra Falcons talk because Jalen was dissing Matt Ryan. Go to Domino's, guys, large three-topping pizza, $7.99. Carry out. It's good every night of the week.
Mike Conti up next, in case you missed it.
Busy. Pretty busy.
Who busy?
Busy.
What? I'm very busy right now.
Hey, man.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conti.
Good news for you.
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
All right, coming up top three at six, including the latest from SunTrust. But right now, it's our man, Mike Conti, in case you missed it.
This is quite a caper. I was watching local news last night, and negative story after negative story after negative. But I noticed this one. I'm not sure if I believe this or not, but Fayette County deputies, according to the report, they're investigating a bunch of car break-ins.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they've been having some problems.
Senator, cut you off, Mike. The break-in thing, the smash and grab is up all over the city right now.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah. No, it's absolutely crazy. This is a little different, though. This was at, a gas station off Highway 85. In fact, it was at a Chevron. And someone broke into a bunch of cars, stole a motorcycle. Mm. But the thing that police are really, really probing right now, really curious, is the theft of a 53-foot trailer that was packed full of ramen noodles.
What?
And the estimated value of the cargo, this is where I'm really struggling, guys. The police are saying that the value of the ramen noodles was $100,000.
That's not even possible.
Well, I mean,
it's
packed into a big truck. That's an 18-wheel trailer.
I understand, but like each packet is what, like 25 cents?
At least. Did you live off ramen noodles back in the day?
I love ramen noodles.
We all did.
I still love ramen noodles.
Yeah, I haven't had them in years, but yes.
But, I mean, I don't want to slander the ramen noodle industry or anything like that, but it's not a very expensive food to produce. I'd imagine all the by the way, this is not the frou-frou ramen noodles that you can go pay $18 for now at, you know, the restaurant down the street in Midtown.
But it basically fits, like, put your hands just about right.
Like cup o' soup.
Well, according to truckdriver.com, 4,013 cubic feet for a 53-foot trailer. So how many of those ramen noodle packets could you squeeze into 4,000 cubic feet, I should say?
Well, you're talking about from floor to ceiling, right?
I was unaware there would be math involved with an occupation of radio.
But I made up the truckdriver.com. I just looked up how many cubic feet in the trailer.
Mike Conti, there's still no way it's $100,000.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so.
You guys are underestimating the street value of ramen noodles.
Well, that's the thing. Like, are these noodles laced with, you know, gold leaf or something else?
Right.
I don't know. Well, anyhow, it's quite the caper. They say it was stolen between July 25th and August 1st, and they still have not tracked down the trailer of ramen. So if you should find noodles on the black market, you might want to contact your local law enforcement agency because there's some hot noodles out there somewhere.
By the way, have you ever purchased anything you thought to have fallen off a truck?
I'm sorry?
You ever purchased anything that might have been a little hot?
Nothing of major value.
Okay, I can't lie. I have.
What was it? What was it?
I can't lie. I have. All right, so these cats roll up literally in a truck one day. And they're like, yo, you need any stereo equipment?
Well, yes, I do.
And I was like, looking around as if this was a sting or something. And I'm going, oh, well, not really, but what do you guys have? And this dude opens up this truck. You knew it was hot. Mm-hmm. You knew it was hot. Mm-hmm. This was right. Years ago. Beep. Pff, truck opens up, Mike Conti. Speakers. Galore.
Ooh. Those big Florida, like,
floor
three
speakers.
Feet. Yeah, baby.
So I'm like, well, I don't need any, but how much are you guys... How much are they costing? The guy goes, what do you want to give? What do you want?
Oh, the greatest answer in the world.
And
oh.
That's when I knew, because nobody in their right mind says, what do you want to give me?
No, he's really trying to cut you a deal.
So
cutting out the middleman.
Mike, I can't lie. I think I bought some hot speakers back in the day.
Were the serial numbers scratched out? That's usually a good sign.
I don't even know.
Yeah.
Once I loaded them up and I was like, they work, right?
Yeah.
And then what I paid for them, it really didn't even matter if they worked. But I was like, yeah, okay.
As Joe Pesci said, a good fellow, yippee-ki-yay! Hijacking!
I think there is a possibility I may have bought, like, a hot bottle of water or two.
Come on!
No. You know how, like, some of the interchanges down by the airport, they'll come up to you with, like, bottled water, mm-hmm. and they'll charge you, like, 50 cents. Or even, you know, going to, when the Braves are down at Turner Field.
Yeah.
You know, you'd get, like, a really low-cost bottle of water walking from the parking lot.
You buy a case for $4, so, I mean, you know.
Yeah, I guess I shouldn't infer that it's hot. But, I mean, you would think that they would upcharge a little bit. I don't know. Also, the serial numbers were not scratched out on the water.
Do you want to make that the game winner, or you want to stick with trash talk for an hour from now?
Let's write both of those down.
Okay, Squid, write both those down. Back to you, Mike Conti. Yeah.
It might be good for future.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It might be.
How about this? You know Greg Biffle, former NASCAR driver?
Old number 16.
Squid, help me out. I'm inviting you to talk. He won at Daytona, but it wasn't the 500, right? It was the 400?
Yeah, I don't remember him winning a 500.
Okay, but I think he won a 400, right?
Yeah, he did win a night race there.
Okay.
I'm sorry. That makes me laugh every time you say that, when you invite Squid in the talk. I apologize. Go ahead.
I thought that was the
procedure. Policy. It is the policy.
In which to have.
Yes, the producers come into the conversation.
Yes. 19 wins in the Greg Biffle career in NASCAR.
In the top series or in all series?
No, in the 20, in the blah, 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 19 in the Monster Energy.
He won
NASCAR.
19 yeah. Winston Cup
when
races?
Roush had it cooking, man. Well, he won a bunch of races.
So, you know, Roush is actually kind of connected to this story. Biffle was sued by his ex-wife and his mother-in-law. He was accused of installing surveillance cameras in their bedrooms and master bathrooms in the home that he used to live in before they split.
Okay.
And he was accused of installing surveillance cameras in there and running the video to a DVR that was in his gun safe. And he was accused of showing the videos to other people. And allegedly someone with Roush, like a technology guy, mm-hmm. installed the cameras. Went to court. Verdict on Monday. Guilty. Biffle is guilty. And the jury ordered that he pay punitive damages of $1.00.
Oh, the dreaded USFL settlement.
$1.
Wow.
Now,
wow.
There's a little bit of legalese going on in this. I guess there is a second phase of sentencing
mm-hmm.
where the punitive damages can be increased. The attorney for Biffle's ex says that the jury's ruling sends a loud message. They don't believe there was, or actually, this is Biffle's attorney, excuse me. The jury's ruling sends a loud message. They don't believe there was wrongdoing. Biffle's ex's attorneys say they hope the punitive damages will adequately reflect the true severity of his actions. They claim that his ex has had anxiety problems, emotional distress, worry, humiliation, fear, and the dreaded pain in her abdomen as a result of being surveilled upon. Weird story.
Yeah. That is weird.
Weird, weird story.
I'm surprised that Shady McCoy didn't have cameras in that house up in North Fulton. By the way, they settled that, by the way. She's out of the house.
Kind of. I think there's that's a multifaceted case as well.
But eviction proceedings.
But the eviction has been settled.
Correct.
Yeah. This is kind of like, was Kurt Busch also with Roush?
For a minute. He won a championship in 2004.
And didn't Kurt Busch, like, allegedly get involved with a spy who
he was with a young lady that would come, she was nuts, bat crazy. But she was either a law enforcement, like, either I thought she was CIA or something, or an ex-FBI agent.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I thought he claimed that, like, she came home from a night out or something like that. And there was blood spattered over her blouse or something. And he thought, like, She had gone out and killed someone.
She was indicted for stealing from the military charity back in the day, too. So she, I've got some friends that work in NASCAR. There was a lot of drama going on there.
Crazy. Okay, I mean, those are two Roush drivers involved in some.
Patricia Driscoll was her name, by the way. Yeah, the ex of Kurt Busch.
What's she doing now?
I'll find out. I'm looking. Again, the internet only works so fast. She's 30. How old is this? She's 38.
I'm just curious.
She's 40 years old now.
I'm amazed that in mid-segment, Mike was able to find a website called truckdriver.com.
I know. According to truckdriver.com.
No, I lied to you. I just Googled what is the what's the cubic feet on a 53-foot
scale. There's an actual website called truckdriver.com.
Hold on. Let's go
there
to
probably is.
Hold on. I'm on it right now.
There is not. Mike Conti.
It wouldn't surprise me.
In case you missed it.
Oh, yes, there is.
TruckDriver.com?
Smarter drivers, better jobs. TruckDriver.com.
All right, man. Coming up, our top three at 6. What's going on in the world of sports? Find out next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.